Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Gonzo Tonight Show. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast so you can stay updated with when we upload new episodes. Follow us on social media at Gonzo Tonight. And if you want to support the page, Gonzo Tonight Show has now joined Buy Me a Coffee. And basically what Buy Me a Coffee is you can go onto my page there and you can donate some coffees. And each coffee is worth like $5. And you can donate and get some, follow the page, and we'll post like updates on there and stuff. We also have a Gonzo Gold membership. This is going to be your monthly membership. It's going to be $7 monthly, $69 yearly, fist bump. And with the membership, you'll get VIP posts. You get updates before everyone else. And there's also going to be a monthly group Zoom meeting. And basically, anyone who wants to join at that time can come on and we can talk about what's going on right now, politics-wise. And even if you have any other questions for me. We've also got something we're going to do. There's 25 spots for it, $10 for access to a friends-only story on my Instagram. So I'll be posting a lot on there. It's going to be behind-the-scenes stuff and just a more personal side as opposed to the, you know, the reserved business image that people have of me. And one more thing. If you want to advertise your business, we're doing business shout-outs before each episode. So if you pay, you know, $25 for a shout-out, we'll do a shout-out where the name of your business, where the business is located, what you guys do, that'll be on the next episode following payment. And then you can go to www.buymeacoffee.com/gonzo. That way you can support the podcast and we can get this thing going and then we can grow together. And one more thing, people keep asking me about starting their own podcast. And I tell them the same thing. There's different websites you can use. Some are free. The thing about a lot of these free websites is sometimes they don't last long. And what happens is your podcast could be on there. And then, you know, one day if the company runs out of money or whatever, they have to shut down. And also your podcast shuts down. So I recommend Buzzsprout, or the guys that host our website. There's going to be a link in the show notes down below. And Buzzsprout is great because now it costs a little bit more, but your podcast is going to stay on there, you know, 100% of the time. Because you pay, basically, it means that your podcast is going to stay on there. One of the best things that I noticed is when I started, the very first day, they put it on Spotify. And then I think the longest one was Apple Podcasts. That took 2 weeks. But in the meantime, from that first day to 2 weeks, I was on like every other outlet. iHeartRadio, a bunch of podcast apps. I don't remember the names. You can start with, you know, anything you have, any gear you have, as long as you're in a quiet room. And it's not hard when you have the right partners, so I highly recommend Buzzsprout. And again, there's going to be a link in the show notes below, so go ahead and check that out if you want to start a podcast. And now we're going to get into the real stuff. I'm here with Zach Nikolai, and we're going to be doing a special episode, basically the reasons why I'm voting for Donald Trump in 2020. Actually, as of now, we have voted. We voted early. I did not vote for Donald Trump in 2016 solely because I wasn't old enough. And Zach was old enough by 3 days.
Yep. Birthday is November 1st. That's actually where I went for my birthday. I woke up in the morning, went to go vote, and I did vote for Donald Trump in 2016.
And again in 2020. So we went the other day, went together and voted. And we're just going to go over some things. I have my notes here just so we don't get off track or we don't forget stuff. And well, the question I have for you is, if you, the first thing that comes to mind when someone asks why you support Trump, what's the first thing that comes to mind?
Honestly, he's just a straightforward guy. You know, he lays out what he wants. He lays out his policies and he actually does them. He doesn't sugarcoat anything. He, you know, says stuff how it is, whether it's, you know, the nicest thing to say, you know, it's however you take it, but he's straightforward and whatever he says, he's done, you know. In 2016, everything he said so far, he's at least touched on within the last 4 years, you know, with building a border wall, with controlling immigration, with, you know, a numerous amount of other stuff, with bringing jobs back to the U.S. I mean, he brought back manufacturing. He brought back car manufacturing, for example, is a big one in Michigan because they all left. They were going to Mexico. And it was cheaper for them to go to Mexico and import the cars over here. But you know what? He's like, okay, well, if you're going to move to Mexico, then we're going to increase taxes on the transport tax, the border
the
tax.
The imports.
Yeah, the import.
Mexico.
Yeah. So, and then, you know what? Then they're like, okay, well, are you going to help us out if we move back to Michigan? And, you know, the government's like, yeah, we want you here. We want you in the United States manufacturing these cars. I mean, companies like BMW, right? It's a foreign car, you know, quote. And a lot of the U.S. BMWs are actually made in the U.S. because they don't want to pay those import fees, those import taxes. But, I mean, going back on topic, that's kind of the main reason why. He always says what he's going to do. He's always pushed forward to do it, even if people don't want him to. You know, that's kind of the main reason that push me towards them, you know, and then we could go into a whole bunch of other stuff.
Right. So, I mean, that's a, well, like you said, I guess his personality, he's rough around the edges, and people don't like that. But the positive part about, you know, who he is he is tough and gets stuff done.
Yeah.
You know, he has fulfilled a lot of his promises and is still working on more. But two, and then when it comes to, you know, world leaders and negotiating with world leaders or even negotiating with the Democrats, you got to have someone who's smart and knows what they're doing. And, like, Trump has done a great job when it comes to negotiating. I mean, I guess the most recent thing, the biggest thing was peace in the Middle East.
Yeah.
I mean, he brought up, like, countries that were going after each other for decades, you know, Israel and all these other countries, brought them together to sign a peace treaty. And because of that, he was nominated for 3 Nobel Peace Prizes. If whether he gets those, we're not sure because he knows what's going to happen. They were talking about canceling it. But yeah, I mean, sure, he's a bully. Some people say he's a bully. He's a mean guy. He says things that people don't like. But at the end of the day, most people are concerned with a few things when it comes to the election. You know, who's going to put more money in their pockets? Who's going to make them feel safer? And basically, what is best for them and their family?
Yeah,
so
exactly.
You can get over the fact that he said certain things. And so the next thing that we could talk about is and actually, this is also one of your favorite things to bring up to people about the fact that he actually is one of the biggest supporters of the LGBT community, which is a big common misconception amongst people. I know that you personally, when people like, you always get in those conversations about that subject.
Yeah, yeah. When like, when because I speak to, I have a lot of left leaning friends or acquaintances and. That's people's main topic that they like to bring up is that he doesn't like the LGBT community. You know, he wants to get rid of him, basically. He wants to stop marriage or whatever. But if you look at it historically, historically he's actually been pro like LGBTQ community, and he's always kind of been like that. Not in a way where, like, he never judged them, and he never like bullied them, or, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? Well, anyway, so he would always show them support. I mean, one major thing that I always like to bring up, right? And this brings up Joe Biden a little bit, but Joe Biden actually said that, you know, homosexuals were a security risk.
Yeah. Right.
And he said that, you know, numerous occasions. He's like, there's something, there are people that we need to keep an eye on. They're national security risk. And, you know, this was part of his 47 years in office, right? So what Donald Trump does in 2016, right? He has, you know, one of his friends who happens to be gay, and he's openly gay, you know, he appoints him to the head of national security, mm-hmm. which is a huge thing because, okay, here's his opponent in 2020 who failed to recognize that homosexuals are not a security risk, because why would they be? You know, you can't judge them just because on who they like. You can't say they're a security risk to the nation. But I mean, I guess Joe Biden can. But yeah, so Donald Trump, he appoints, you know, openly.
He was the first openly gay cabinet member.
Yeah, and he was head of national security.
Right.
So
that's, you know, ironic.
Yeah, that's really ironic. And, you know, and he even comes out and he did a few articles about it, saying that Donald Trump is probably the most pro-gay president, mm-hmm. you know, which is, that's a bold statement,
yeah.
coming from someone. But he has backings to prove that, because now coming to, you know, the United Nations, right? So the United States puts a lot of money into that, and, you know, they have a lot of say into it. So right away, actually, and this happened within, I want to say within the first 90 days, but I'm not sure. But one of the first things he did was he went to the United Nations and he made it illegal for them to prosecute any homosexual person.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Right. Because, you know, in places.
That was really, yeah, I think that it was fairly quick. It could have been 90 days.
Yeah.
But it was like one of the first things that he did.
It was definitely, you know, it was definitely within the first 6 months,
mm-hmm.
you know, but I think it was in 90 days. But that was one of the first things he did in office was, you know, he made it like illegal, not just nationally. I mean, it was already illegal nationally, but he made it illegal worldwide,
mm-hmm.
To prosecute someone for their sexuality.
Right. Exactly.
So then a lot of people, what they rebuttal, like when I tell them that, because they don't know that, you know what I mean? They're like, well, he doesn't allow trans people in the military, right? And whether, you know, whatever your views are on that, he actually, that's not really true. He just put restrictions in place because, actually, it's not even restrictions. It's restrictions that have already been there and that are there for a straight person, right? So you need to pass an evaluation, a mental evaluation, mm-hmm. to show that you're eligible to be in the military,
right.
and to be, you know, eligible to go out. You know what I mean? You can't be mentally ill and go fight for the country, because, you know what? What if you turn back and start shooting at?
Right. I mean, yeah, you can't. You have to be physically healthy, but of course, you also have to have, you know, you have to be mentally healthy. And like you said, yeah, I mean, you don't want to deal with, you're supplying someone with weapons, a lot of times some weapons that, you know, civilians can't get.
Yeah.
And you're sending them out really either to defend the country or to go and attack on behalf of the country, whatever the case may be. You can't have someone that's mentally unstable out there. So yeah, again, and you can continue with the.
Yeah. So yeah, that was one big point. Another big point was it was more recent where they're like, they said that, well, if a trans person gets the exception and goes into the military, they can't get the medical equipment that they need or whatever.
Oh, they were complaining about the military wouldn't provide them with the transition, like helping them transition, basically.
Yeah.
That's what you're referring to?
Well, yeah, that, but that actually kind of, I don't know if you knew this, that kind of extended into what they made it illegal was, right, in the military, was that you would have a trans person in the military, right? And whether, you know, they'd be like towards the end of transitioning or whatever, and the government would pay for it. But what they made it illegal was, let's just say I got shot, right? Now, a male heart, or, you know, like a shoulder, a male shoulder is different than a woman's shoulder.
Right.
So what they put into place was, instead of, you know, let's just say you're born a man and, you know, now you're identifying as a female or whatever and you got shot, right? So now you're in the ER, mm-hmm. the military ER, and you're like, well, I'm a woman, right?
Right.
So I want you to treat me like a woman.
Mm-hmm.
Well, okay, you know, so then they start healing you or whatever, but the anatomy isn't the same.
Mm-hmm.
Or like, what if you have a girl, this is actually probably a better example, right? Because what if you are a guy that turns into a girl, right? But you have testicular cancer.
Right.
Right. Now, a woman can't get testicular cancer, right? So if I'm, you know, a person that says I'm a girl, but I was born a guy, and I go into the ER and I say I'm a woman, they have to legally treat you as a woman. And if they test you for testicular, or they won't test you for testicular cancer because you say you're a woman, and we're going to treat you as a woman.
So they basically reversed it, so where it was like, listen, you have to treat them based on their natural born, like, anatomy.
Exactly.
Because, yeah, like you said, I mean, believe it or not, when it comes to the male and female anatomy, it is different.
Yeah, it is.
And, you know, like you said, the shoulder thing. Well, no, I mean, the bone structure is all different.
Yeah.
And that's a more cut and dry example of, you know, testicular cancer or breast cancer.
Yeah, breast cancer too, yeah.
So there's certain things biologically that are different between male and female. That's just how it is. And, you know, so you can... That's when it comes to trans, of course. When it comes to sexuality, that's a whole different thing, because you can identify as whatever you want. But that's the confusion there.
Yeah,
I've gotten that question too. It's like, oh, well, he said that trans people weren't allowed to go in the military. Or they'd say just like stuff around the issue, but none of it was actually true. None of it was actually like what was going on. He didn't allow trans in the military, or not paying for their surgery or whatever. And that's kind of a different thing. That's more based on like, okay, well, for me at least, why should my taxpayer dollars go towards a surgery like that? Like, you know, so like,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I mean, realistically, it shouldn't. Yeah. You know, I mean, no, just, I mean, like, if I want, you know, a nose job.
Right.
I mean,
why should I pay for your nose job?
Yeah. I don't think you should. I think I should save up for one if I want a nose job. You know what I mean?
Right. So, I mean, if you're naturally born this way, and let's forget the whole debate about, you know, what you identify as. Let's say you're born a man and you identify as a female, but your body works perfectly fine. You're born that way, you know, in a male's body. Why would I have to then, you know, worry about physically transitioning this person or helping this person go through a transition when it's not like a medical emergency, so to say, or it's not, you know, something that's imperative to their health? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's an issue that's like hard to explain, but.
Yeah, because you don't want to say it's like cosmetic, you know what I mean? But.
Right. I mean, that's the thing though. Like, is it cosmetic? Is it,
you
know, is it imperative? And, you know, in my personal opinion, I don't think so. At least when it comes to, you know, taxpayer dollars or like, the government paying for it, the military paying for it, whatever. Besides that, you can do whatever you want. I don't care. But, you know, we're just limiting that to taxpayer dollars.
But one thing that brings me up with like all this stuff is, you know, the media portrays it in the way where it looks poor on the Trump administration.
Well, yeah, that's their job right now.
You know what I mean? Like, they'll have a clear-cut outline, and the media will twist and be like, no trans people in the United States military, no gay people in the United States military,
mm-hmm.
which is crazy because, you know, the Clinton administration, right?
Bill Clinton.
Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton was actually the one who passed the Don't Ask, Don't Tell for the United States military, mm-hmm. right? And that's basically saying, hey, if you're gay, don't tell anyone. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you'll probably be kicked out. Because mm-hmm. gay people were still not allowed in the
right,
military.
So he didn't make a law saying, like, okay, we'll let gay people in the military. He basically said, don't tell them. Yeah, and hide it.
Stay in the closet, don't tell people.
Because yeah. I guess Trump reversed that.
Yeah.
Or he got rid of that. And people were like, oh my gosh, they got rid of the law that, you know, protects gay people, whatever. It's like, well, no, what he's trying to do is actually allow them to join openly and get rid of this whole, like, oh, I have to hide it. You know, like, don't ask, don't tell. If you tell me, if I find out you're gay, like, you're out of here.
Yeah, that's it.
Bill Clinton, it wasn't, really, that wasn't pro-gay.
No, it was pro-hiding that you're gay.
Right. It was pro-closeted gay, let's say.
Yeah.
But
it was like, you could be gay and join,
yeah.
but don't tell me because I'm gonna be mad.
Right, like, so he never actually, there was never, like, a law that was put in place that allowed people who were gay to join the military. It just stayed the same. It was like, okay, we'll kick you out if you want to.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's just a lot of confusion on this stuff, and a lot of things that we're going to be talking about, it's probably going to be the same thing. I guess while we're on the topic of, like, taxpayer dollars, the pro-life abortion issue might be a good one to jump into.
Okay, yeah. So, like, Planned Parenthood and...
Right, so the big one is, we were talking about this last night, Planned Parenthood. The people on the left are freaking out because Trump wants to defund Planned Parenthood, and that Planned Parenthood does many wonders for women and, you know, helping families and all this. That's what you hear. And the reality is, as we've discussed, there's a lot of shadiness, is the way you put it. There's a lot of shadiness.
There's a lot of shadiness in the operation, right? So, you know, people will hate Planned Parenthood, you know, and the people who like Planned Parenthood, you know, hate a lot of right-leaning, you know, stuff.
Right. It's a very divisive subject matter. And, you know, one side majority is just, you know, pro-life, like, you know, no killing babies. The other side predominantly is like, it's a woman's right, it's their body, whatever. But... talking about Planned Parenthood specifically, people believe that, you know, Planned Parenthood, yes, they do abortions, but what they do as an organization is mostly good, and it's mostly not abortions. That's like, they say it's just like one of the things that they offer.
Yeah, and they try to argue that it's actually like the thing that they do the least amount of.
Right, right, and that the biggest thing that they do is, like, you know, they provide birth control and, you know, like, a bunch of different stuff. It's all about family planning is what they, like, say it
parenthood.
Is. Yeah.
I mean, it's in the name, you know. So
right.
That's what they advertise. Mm-hmm. But is it what goes on there?
No. And there is a lot. I mean, straight up, they do abortions. We all know that. And then you were telling me, too... and I've seen some of these videos. There's a big thing where people would go in and, like, record conversations they were having with Planned Parenthood employees or whatever. And when it comes to the whole family plan thing, they're like, you know, they're supposed to help the mother get through the pregnancy.
Yeah, it's supposed to be like a maternity, like, doctor
right.
sort of thing.
But they've started seeing that the people at Planned Parenthood – it was more like they were still pressuring you to get an abortion.
Yeah.
And they were trying to make it seem like getting an abortion was your best option.
Yeah.
So if you wanted to keep that baby, they would even be like, you know, if you choose to not get an abortion, then we can't help you.
Yeah, I mean, I was telling you, last night about numerous, like, actual phone calls to Planned Parenthood and, like, recordings and... you know,
even some videos. I saw videos. People go in there with a camera somewhere.
Like, yeah, yeah. They'll hide a camera. They'll have like a button camera or something.
Yeah.
And, you know, but, you know, they go in there and they're speaking the truth. And they're like, I think I want to keep this child. you know, but how would you guys help me through that process? How would you help me through the birthing process? And 9 out of 10 phone calls were all like, you know, to be honest with you, we really don't do that. If you choose to not get an abortion, we can't help you through the parenting process or, you know, the birthing process. Like, we're not going to help you at all.
This is all stuff you can, like, look up too. It might be hard to find.
Yeah.
But
you could definitely look it up.
Find it. Yeah, yeah. You can always find this stuff. It's just, you know, if you Google it and it's not on the first page, you can't be like, all right, guess it's not there. Close the laptop. Because, I mean, that's a whole other issue, Google. But, yeah, so, and then two, there's, this is one of my, one of the things that I personally believe. There's not, there is evidence to back this up. This is going to be even, like, deeper digging. But, and you agree with this too, I think, there's been evidence pointing to, not even just Planned Parenthood, but anywhere that does an abortion, any doctor that does an abortion, especially if they do it in the later years or the later months, excuse me, they will sell fetuses, baby body parts, or even the baby as a whole to different organizations, different people, and
yeah. So, for example, like stem cell research, right?
Right.
It's illegal in the U.S. and so what they'll do is like, and they've actually, I mean, you can look this up. They've gotten busted for it. You know, they'll sell these fetuses to, you know, foreign companies or foreign, you know, labs or even illegal labs that are doing illegal research, like with these fetuses, when, you know, it's the same research that you don't have to do with a fetus. You know what I mean? You could use animals.
They go out in the, I mean, this is kind of a visual, but like whether it's absolutely true or not, basically what they'll do is they'll go out in the back somewhere, you know, load them up in a truck.
Yeah.
That truck drives somewhere, puts on a plane, the plane goes somewhere else. Like,
yeah, that's, yeah, I mean.
And not just for the research part either. You were talking more about the research part. I'm one of those, when it comes to this stuff, people will probably believe this is conspiracy, but I think that this has to tie into as well the whole satanic group that supposedly QAnon and other people are trying to expose.
Yeah.
That there's a group of higher-ups that are Satan worshipers, basically. Now, as a Christian, I believe that Satan's real. I believe that there's people who, I guess, worship Satan or collude with Satan. And I believe that Satanists exist.
Yeah, of course.
There's videos of people coming out and admitting they're Satanists. Yeah. And Satanists showing up to protest and all this and that. So I think there's no denying that Satanists are real, but there's this conspiracy that there's higher-ups that are part of a satanic cult, basically, and that they...
World leaders,
whatever, yeah. Hollywood yeah. Stars, and people go as far to believe that maybe they drink baby's blood.
Yeah.
That's a big thing.
Yeah, because...
This whole... you know, aborting at 9 months thing, like in New York, when they're allowing you to abort up to the day.
They were letting you abort till after.
Yeah, basically. And then they incubate the fetus or baby, you know, if it's
whatever,
born.
Yeah.
And because if the baby's alive, they tell the mother, okay, it's dead, whatever. Incubate this baby and, again, put it on a truck, on a plane, send it off somewhere. And because in alive, if on the black market, dead baby, $10,000.
Yeah.
Alive baby, $150,000.
Yeah. I mean,
this is real stuff. This is stuff that's like, if you really, really, really look into it, you can find stuff and evidence that's like linking it all together. And it's just like really weird stuff. But this is stuff that's like, you got to really dig for it.
Yeah, you really do. There was actually a buzz.
This isn't like first page of Google stuff. You're not going to find it on like...
No, and if you find it on the first page of Google, it got released 5 minutes ago and, you know, yeah. It's about to be taken down.
As soon as you click the link, it's gone.
Well, like one thing where you're talking about with like fetuses and stuff and like what they do is they use like the stem cells in the blood to make, which is, this is actually popular. A lot of like famous people and stuff got busted for this. I believe in like the 80s, right? And what it is, it's like it's liquid adrenaline, right?
Right.
Yeah, it's supposed to make you feel younger. It's
supposed liquid. To make you look younger, feel younger. Like basically, it's like an anti-aging drug.
Yeah, and like you inject it. Like,
this is something that's easier to find.
Yeah, yeah. So you could actually look this up. There's actually a big bust. I don't know where. I forgot. This is probably beginning of the year, right before COVID. But there was a big bust where they found all these teddy bears, right? And then when they opened them up, those capsules. And when they tested, you know, like a pill. When they tested the capsules, it was like human hair. It had that adrenaline stuff, you know, that like it was like kids, you know, blood basically. Mm-hmm. And they tested it all and it all came out positive.
It's a drug that only comes, it specifically comes from the blood of a child.
Yeah.
I forget the name of it, but you can continue. I find that.
Yeah. So, you know, and people back to like Planned Parenthood, right? Like people argue that, okay, well they do a lot of other stuff, right? They do, they test for cancer. They'll prescribe you birth control. They'll do this. They'll do that. And actually, my girlfriend was asking me about this. Like, oh, well, you know, why do some people say Planned Parenthood is bad, and why do some people say it's good? You know, because they do birth control. They do this. They do that. I'm like, well, you know, where do you get your birth control from? You know, because I'm not opposed to birth control. I don't like, you know, I don't know your views on it, but yeah. So. She's like, well, I just go to the doctor, they prescribe it, and I pick it up at Publix. I'm like, okay, so, you know, why can't a normal person do that too? You know what I mean? Like, why do they have to go to Planned Parenthood to do it when there's all these other doctors, you know, gynecologists, and, you know, they do all the same stuff. They're private doctors, and, you know, you could argue about price-wise or whatever, but at the end of the day, if it's going to be under insurance, it's the same price.
At the end of the day, too, like, oh, it should be free. But it's like, okay, well, you can choose not to have sex.
You can, yeah.
Easily. I'm not going to argue it's easily, but you can choose not to have sex, right? And then if you choose to have sex, you... if you choose not to have sex, then, you know, obviously you... Or if you choose to... Excuse me. If you choose to have sex, you have to...
You're taking that risk.
You're taking that risk and, you know, you know the risk.
Yeah.
And, you know, no one right now having sex is saying, you know, it's practically impossible for me to have a kid or get this girl pregnant. So, yeah. You know, the risk when you're going into it. And if you want to do that, go buy condoms. And people that argue like, you know, condoms are expensive, like they're not, you're not having sex that much where you have to buy like, you know, hundreds of dollars worth of condoms a week. Okay. Go buy the condoms, get on birth control, whatever. Stop complaining. Next topic.
I don't know if you want to talk about.
What were you thinking?
I don't know if it was on there, but you know, people say like Donald Trump is racist.
Okay, yeah, that was that's on there.
Okay, so like white supremacy, right? That's a big thing that people bring up.
Yeah. And that was big until a week ago when he denounced it for the
19th time.
Yeah, 19th time publicly.
Publicly.
Since
2000.
2000. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. 2000 was the first person. So this name, I don't know if you know the name, David Duke.
Yeah. The KKK.
Yeah. The KKK, the Klan leader, the, you know, so his name gets brought up a lot. And
he's the face of the KKK, basically.
Exactly. Yeah. And the first time it got brought up publicly to Donald Trump was in 2000. Mm-hmm. And he was running. But not under, he was running under a different party, though.
It was the Reform
Party. The Reformist Party. Party or Reform Party or, yeah. So, you know, and publicly Donald Trump said, like, I disavow him, right? Because mm-hmm. that's a word that they want to use at the time,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, disavow, denounce, whatever.
Yeah. So he's like, I disavow him. I disavow, you know, white supremacy. He said that in 2000 in a recorded interview. And it's on YouTube. It's on, you know. Mm-hmm. Media, you know, well, not a lot of media websites,
yeah, I mean,
you can find it, you know, fairly easy. And then, you know, so then I know some arguments were like, well, that was a long time ago. Well, he wasn't a politician back then. And then it's like, okay, well, in 2016, was actually the majority of times that he said it.
Mm-hmm.
Because people kept bringing it up.
When he was running for president.
Yeah, because David Duke actually said, he's like, oh, well, I guess he actually didn't know this. Someone said that David Duke was endorsing it.
Right.
And Donald Trump was like, no, I don't want him to endorse me.
Right, he
like,
said, oh, David Duke endorses me? Well, I disavow.
Yeah, I disavow.
Because, you know, he just didn't know. And I think, too, it came out like they weren't even sure if it was actually true. But he basically said, you know, I disavow. That was like, I think one of the first, during the election was one of the first times it was brought up.
Exactly.
He said, David Duke endorsed me? Okay, well, I disavow. And like 17 other times publicly between now and then, you know, disavowing the KKK, white supremacy. There's the famous, they use the example, they're very fine people.
Yeah.
Where they show six seconds of the clip of him saying, where they're very fine people.
He's like, they're fine people on both sides.
And he literally goes, and I'm not talking about the racists and the white nationalists.
Yeah.
Because they should be condemned totally.
Yeah.
It's like, I could recite that whole thing. I've seen it so many times. But, and then, of course, it came back up during the Trump-Biden debate. Because he didn't, like, you know, I disavow white supremacy. Like, that's what they wanted. They wanted, like, a clear-cut thing. And he basically was telling Chris Wallace, he's like, this again, like, you know, you asked me in 2016, like, how many times do I have to answer this?
He's like, do you disavow?
So Chris Wallace is like talking to him, Bias talking to him. He's like, I'll disavow anyone, like, right now, tell me. And then they cut him off. They move to the next thing.
Yeah.
So in the town hall, 2 weeks later, whatever her name is, the moderator asks him, you know, do you disavow white supremacy? And he's like, yes, I denounce white supremacy.
Yeah, he's like, I denounced it now. Like, I denounced it back then. I denounced it.
And then she's like, oh, okay. Do you denounce QAnon? He's like, what the heck's QAnon? But that's a different subject. But what I noticed is, and I told you this, when I looked up, like, I was looking into, like, the summaries of the town hall. Like, you know, they say, oh, it was talked about, whatever. They did not once mention anything about race during the Trump town hall. Because he denounced it, like, clearly.
Yeah.
Which it wasn't the first time, regardless, but they were saying, oh, he didn't denounce QAnon. They didn't talk anything about race. So
yeah,
they don't care. That's the thing. They really don't care. It's just whatever is going to, you know, ruin his chances to become be reelected as president. So
yeah, I mean, he denounced it multiple times. I mean, he actually went, you know, spoke to the United States, like, as a whole. You know, he came out with a press, I can't think.
Was it a press conference?
Yeah, where, like, a public address to the nation, right? He came out with a public address to the nation, speaking of what he's done in the Middle East and, you know, what he's done with Kosovo. You know, we'll talk about foreign relations, in a little bit. And then in the middle of it, he says that he is, you know, he denounces white supremacy, he denounces the KKK, he denounces Antifa, and he is public. He was the first president, right, to actually make organizations like that classified as a terrorist organization.
Right, recently too.
Recently,
he labeled the KKK as a terrorist organization, and it's like, okay, well, why wasn't that done during Obama or
it should have been done during that? Him? Yeah,
yeah. Our first black president didn't do anything about race relations. And he could have easily, you know, made the KKK a terrorist organization if they were such a big issue.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, and so none of this happened until Trump. And even despite all this, too, you can also look at what he has not just said, but done for the African-American community. All the money he donated to black colleges. I mean, all the when it comes to, like, reform.
Yeah, prison reform.
Prison reform.
Because
there you go.
Most inmates are African American, which, you know, it is sad that it is like that.
You can very well argue that it's the system's fault, and that's a whole nother monster. But as of right now, he's saying, okay, this is the mess that it's in. We need to start fixing it. Whereas you have someone like Joe Biden, who is literally running on a record of, you know, not prison reform, but what's the word I'm looking for?
Like reparations?
No. Like when he was a senator, I don't want my kids growing up in a racial jungle. We're working on putting, you know, more black people in prison because, you know, they're predators and all this stuff.
Like, yeah, super predator, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that was Hillary Clinton, but
He
said similar stuff like that. And he was, I just can't remember what the bill was called. It was the bill that he came up with that basically helped put more black people in prison.
Yeah.
And all this stuff.
It made like minor charges, like prison offenses. Right.
And then his running mate, Kamala Harris, same thing.
Yeah,
while she was AG in California. She prosecuted, like, you know, anyone that walked through that door for, like, marijuana use. Like, felony.
Felony, you're going to prison. And, I mean, statistically, there's more white people in the United States than black people. But in California, when Kamala Harris, you know, was running it over there, there was, like, 50 times more black people arrested than white people.
Right. It was, like, after her 4 years, I think, when she was AG, it went up. The not crime, but like incarcerations went up like 20. I want to say like 24%. It was a big number of incarcerations after her time as AG. And so it's like you hear these things about Trump being racist, about Trump not doing anything for the black community, how he is the man, the president for the rich white people and all this and that. And then Biden's the savior of the African-American community, all this and that. And it's stuff that you could easily do 5 minutes of research and like basically put holes in all of it.
Yeah, I mean, Donald Trump has donated so much money and helped so much, like so many African-American colleges. And he's come out, you know, with the prison reform, he's released thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of, mm-hmm. you know, African-Americans
the from, First Step Act.
From prison. Yeah.
That was the, I think the name of it.
Yeah. The First Step. Yeah.
And, so it's just, there's so many, there's more good than bad.
And for
meaning good, like Trump's done so much good. Biden's done the opposite.
Yeah.
As his 47 years as a senator. And if you want to say, oh, Trump says racist stuff. Do I even need to get into what Biden has said recently?
Yeah. If you don't vote for me, you're not black. I mean,
like, yeah, that was a big one. Poor kids are just as bright and talented as white kids.
Like, that's racist. I don't want my kids
growing up in a racial jungle. The N-word
openly. Yeah, he said in a town hall.
Did not stutter. Yeah. The guy that has a stutter did not stutter. They claim he has a stutter now. Did you hear that?
I know. Yeah, I did know that, yeah. Huh?
The guy that supposedly had a stutter since birth did not stutter when he used the word. But anyway, anything else we want to talk about on that
matter? Well, back to the reason of this podcast, why are we voting for Donald Trump? I mean, for 2020, for example, right, black communities, he wants to give $500 billion, right? And spread it, or three, I think it was $300 billion, and invest it in the black communities, mm-hmm. invest it in infrastructure to make to make it a nice town.
Well, more job opportunities, more economically friendly.
Yeah.
I mean, well, that's the thing too. Like, if you invest in the communities, they'll grow.
Yeah.
Some people argue that, you have to send in a bunch of police, which may work, but at the end of the day, the goal should be to invest in that community, build it up, make sure that everyone is able to get a job.
Yeah.
You know, and
I mean, we're a private company country.
Right.
Right. We love our private companies.
When they talk about reparations, literally talking about write every black person an $80,000 check and this will fix it.
And, I'll tell you one thing, right? The stimulus check, right? I got one, $1,200. What did I do with it? I spent it.
Yep.
How did that help
the economy? That was my next point.
You know what I mean? Like,
write me a check for $80,000. Now, me personally, I wouldn't spend it all. But,
you know,
a majority of the people get a check for reparations check, $80,000.
Yeah. You know what? They're going to be like, oh, I can finally buy that car I want. Oh, let me buy that phone I want. Mm-hmm. And then they don't realize how quick it goes. $80,000, it's realistically...
Right, I mean...
Not that
there's
much.
I think there's a lot of people that can use it responsibly, and there's a lot of people that won't. And there's going to... that's not how you invest in the community. Yeah. There's better ways to go about it. And
like putting $300 billion into infrastructure in like a black community, right, for example, right? What all and, that what that does is that increases a private company's motive to go into that community, because a private, like, you know, let's just say a restaurant, right? A restaurant doesn't want to go into a rundown building that, you know, has had a shooting in there, that has break-ins all the time, or prone to riots, mm-hmm, you know what I mean? Or whatever.
Well, like the Target in Minneapolis, for example.
Yeah, they left.
They're not going to, they weren't going to rebuild it. They said, nope, sorry, we're not going to have this crap. I mean, like, yeah, so exactly. If you go, if you're not going to willingly go into an area that is infested with crime and be like, yep, let's set up shop here. Yeah. We should be fine.
Detroit, like Michigan, they have ghost cities where like riots and stuff have happened. Mm-hmm. And then all these businesses moved out because they're like, well, I can't run a business here.
Yeah.
You know, I'm getting all my life savings. You know, it's all getting stolen.
And we have to talk about the police too, because look, there's my personal belief, I've talked about this with a couple people, is you need to first make sure that you send well-trained police into these cities, into these communities.
Yeah.
Fix the crime issue, and then companies will want to invest in the community. They want to, you know, then people will be willing to start a business. Maybe companies will be willing to, big corporations will maybe be willing to invest and hire hundreds of people, because the crime is fixed.
Exactly.
As long as it's a crime-ridden city, people don't want to come.
Look at you know, Lake Mary, for example, right? So it's a very small town in Central Florida, right? And they have a lot of police officers, and we have a restaurant in Lake Mary. And to be honest with you, they have a lot of police officers for how small it is. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's literally, you know, what, like two roads? You know what I mean? It's a small square in the middle of, like, in the middle of Sanford Longwood area.
Right.
You know what I mean? And they have a lot of police officers over there. And anytime I work at that location, right, I close up the location, and without a doubt, right, I know what's going to happen when I close that location, right? I'm counting money, doing the register, whatever. And exactly at the same time every night, right, police officer drives by, right? I love her to death. She's amazing. She drives by, looks in the window, stops, waits for me to look up. I wave to her, give her a thumbs up, and then she waves back and she leaves. And then she just patrols.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? That's the kind of stuff that, you know, helps crime.
Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah, because, good policing.
Yeah, good policing. I mean, you could argue that, you know, Lake Mary has too many police for the size, but I think it's perfect. I'd rather have too many police than too little.
Right.
I'd rather have, you know, I mean, we went to Lake Mary High School, right? And do you want me to talk about it? It doesn't matter, right?
What, the freshman year thing?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, so freshman year, you know, we had a Code Red incident where they thought there was a shooter on campus. You know what? They had 144 patrol vehicles come from all around Florida. They had all of Lake Mary police, and they showed up.
All of Lake Mary police was there within 90 seconds.
Within 90 seconds.
And then more came.
They had all of Sanford police, all of Semelo County Sheriff's office, half of Orange County Sheriff's office, half of DeLand, half of, like, they had so many police officers there.
Yeah, it's like anyone within a 10-mile radius, basically.
Was there. But all of Lake Mary Police Department was there in 90 seconds, swatted up inside the school and securing it already. That's the kind of safety you need in, mm-hmm, a community. That's right. The kind of, you know, I was in the classroom. I was actually there, you know, like, praying to God that it was a false alarm. But you know what? You know how happy I was to see when, you know, I had five SWAT officers check the room and make sure that, you know, mm-hmm, no one in my room was actually hiding or one in, you know, I was stoked. You know, they scared us because we were hiding at one door and they actually came through that same door because we thought they were going to come through the other door. You know what I mean?
But regardless, they're there now. Everything's fine.
Yeah. Because we had the policing to keep us safe. We have the policing to keep us safe in our restaurants and our Target. You know what I mean? I mean, they patrol day and night. I think, You know, Lake Mary Police Department does a fabulous job. You know, they protect the community by patrolling it, and they help you out if you're in trouble.
Right.
You know, they don't automatically go to, I'm gonna arrest this person.
Right. We have very good police. We have very good sheriff. And I told you I went to an event for Sheriff Lima, who's running for re-election.
Yeah.
Seminole County. And he was talking about how, you know, past 4 years, what we've been working on is making sure that the sheriff's department is top notch, that, you know, there's is no nonsense, that, and two, he even said they hire a lot of social workers.
Yeah, which is
good. But they still have a lot of police.
Yeah.
Or a lot of sheriff. They have a lot of sheriffs, a lot of social workers, and then, of course, because, you know, there might be an instance where you just need a social worker. You don't need, you know, the cops to show up. And he said, in the past 4 years, crime in Seminole County went down 26%, and they haven't gotten one complaint about excessive use of force.
But you know who gets complaints all the time?
Orange County, probably. The guy who's running against Sheriff Lima came from Orange County. He was with Orange County for like 30 years. Mm-hmm. Orange County, yeah, I'm not a fan of Orange County. I'm not a fan of how they run it. But Seminole County has done really good, especially over the past 4 years. But, I mean, when's the last time you hear about anything, like, crazy happening in Seminole County? We had, like, that one, supposedly there was an armed robber, like, a year ago, maybe? And
that was
the biggest thing, like, in 10 years. It was, like, armed robber.
Yeah. I mean, Seminole County is a very safe
county. I don't even know if there was a guy or not, like, but...
Yeah.
It was like a big deal for a little bit, and then it was like.
I remember the biggest thing that happened like within the last year. I don't know if it was the same guy, but a guy was breaking into restaurants, and he just kept breaking into restaurants. But you know,
like a cereal restaurant.
Yeah, like breaker. What he was doing, he was cutting power. He actually broke into our restaurant.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
He was cutting power to the plazas, right? Turning it off because, you know, we don't have any of our power things locked. You know, it's Seminole County. It's a safe county. So he actually cut the power, but. Hey, we have security cameras that are on batteries. And then we gave the Lake Mary detective, actually, he's a great guy. We gave him the footage from our super HD cameras, and they caught him within a week. Mm-hmm. It's great police.
He saves more restaurants.
Yeah. they went down the plaza that our restaurant's in. They went down the line. They went to the Chinese place. They went to the...
Well, it's not Taylor there. It's a
no.
Was it Publix?
The cleaners.
Oh, the cleaners. Okay.
Yeah, they went into the cleaners and they went into our restaurant and they did ours last. But I'll tell you what, if they did ours first, they would have been caught right away because there was a silent alarm and you know, they had no idea.
But and then two, we can wrap it up here with a few more things. If you want to go down this, we'll go down the rest of our list here.
Oh, one, I don't know if you want to talk about anti-socialist.
Of course I do. Anti-socialist. President Trump is an anti-socialist president.
Yep.
He and many others in the Republican Party said they don't want to see our country become socialist.
And neither do I.
Neither do I.
I mean, someone recently, you know, because I went to the Trump rally, and, you know, we went to the Trump rally together mm-hmm. in Sanford. It was right after... he recovered from COVID, right? And he decided to come to Sanford first. Mm-hmm. And I was happy that. So I'm like, you know, I want to go see him. So we went to go see him or whatever. Posted a picture on Instagram and I had someone reply to it. And this individual, she's actually dating an Albanian guy. And I'm Albanian, right? And she asked me.
You are?
So she's like, she's just like, what, ... And I'm like. You know, I sent a question mark and she's like, oh, this is disgusting. And I'm like, well, why? She's like, well, that you support Donald Trump. They're like, and then she's like, well, why? And I'm like, well, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm like, I've seen what socialism has done to Albanian communities, you know, and I knew she had an Albanian boyfriend. That's why I said that. Right. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I've seen what socialism has done to Albanians and I don't want to see it happen again. Right. And she didn't respond because I'm assuming... And I'm hoping, right? She asked her boyfriend, like, hey, you know, what does socialists have to do with Albanians? And Albania was actually a socialist country with a dictator. His name was Hoxha, H-O-X-H-A. And it turned into a communist country. And you know what? People, you know, stopped working. All the hard workers, you know, just like communists, like, it doesn't work out, right?
Yeah.
All the hard workers.
Venezuela, yeah. Cuba, Russia, whatever. There hasn't been one successful socialist / communist country.
Yeah, never. And it's
and
because...
There never will be. It's a formula that is meant to fail.
Yeah, because all the hard workers are working extremely hard for the same cut as all the people who are sitting on their asses.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just what it comes out to. And I've met some Albanians that, like, have come up to me or my brother and, like, oh, you're Albanian? Oh, are you communist? And I'm like, no. And whenever they come up to me and ask me that, and, you know, I know that if they are, their family were one of the lazy ones. They were one of the ones that didn't work. They're the one of the ones that...
My dad had a similar situation. I forget where he was. It was he and my mom were somewhere and on vacation, maybe. And they were talking to this Russian couple. And they find out he's Venezuelan, and they go, oh, you're Venezuelan? Yeah, go Maduro. And he was like, no, we don't like him. Like, they're like, what? No, like, he's great, socialist, whatever. And he was like, no, I mean, communism has ruined our country. Like, we don't like him.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, okay. So I guess these Russians were actually, like, old school communists or something, I mean.
Yeah, yeah.
But.
Like, in Albanian's case, so 200,000 people died from socialism, you know, socialism turning into communism. And it started out with, actually, when you turn into a communist country, they get rid of, you know, religion is the first thing they get rid of. And they started closing churches, and they started, you know, they started to, like, literally kill off any person practicing Christianity, Islam, Orthodox Christianity. You know what I mean? Like, any religion, if you supported it, they would, you know, they would literally kill you. And 200,000 people died from supporting the religion or starvation. And there's actually a picture, you can look it up, where, you know, Italy was sending cruise ships over there to help people escape. And those cruise ships were full to the brim of people falling off. You could tell that they're all starved. You could tell, you know, and it's like, just because how packed they are. Like, you ever seen those, like, Indian trains?
Yeah.
Where they're like, you know, people are hanging on the outside. Yeah. Like, it was like that, but with a cruise ship, and people are escaping while, you know, these military operatives are coming in and shooting at them, you know, trying to get them to stay. I guess, keep their body, I guess. But, like, now, I mean, socialism would be horrible for this country. It'd be horrible for the people in this country. It'd be horrible for religion. Right, I mean, it should have nothing to do in the United States, where, you know, immigrants, like, such as, you know, my parents, your parents, have fought to come here. You know what I mean? There's a reason they came to the United States,
right?
Because,
and then
we're free.
You're gonna come to the United States and what? Vote for the same stuff you were voting for in your home, and that same stuff that ruined your home. It's like Californians moving to Texas. New Yorkers moving to Florida, you're going to vote for the same stuff that, you know,
that
raised your taxes
yeah.
and, you know, ruined your housing and all this stuff. Like, no, if you're coming here, there's a reason. You don't leave your state or your country because things are going great.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is why I'm not going to leave.
Yeah. Texas is having huge campaign or huge advertisements saying, like, hey, you could move here, but don't bring your views.
Yeah.
Think about the reason why you moved here. Mm-hmm. Right, you moved here from
California. Because they don't want their home to be ruined.
Exactly.
Texas is one of the lowest cost of living. Has one of those the lowest cost of living, lowest housing prices, low taxes, all that. They don't want Californians coming in and voting in these liberals, voting in these Democrats, raising taxes, therefore raising inflation, all this and that. So yeah, it's like, if you're leaving because something's not going right, why are you then going to try and implement the same stuff? It's like a cancer.
Yeah, it's a cancer, and then it just keeps moving. I mean, and then on Supreme Court justices.
So that's a big one, because that kind of ties into a lot of the stuff that we're talking about. Obviously, Judge ACB is most likely going to get confirmed soon. But the big issue is not even going to talk about the whole drama, besides the fact that you know, she is a constitutionalist, and people are saying, oh, she's going to replace RBG and, you know, put women back 30, 40 years, whatever, get rid of women's rights. And it's like, all Donald Trump is trying to do is appoint judges that will interpret the Constitution as it is written.
Yeah.
And this lady is, she graduated number one in her law school. Great judge, has a great career. And they're, you know, they're going to attack her because they're Catholic.
Yeah.
And all this stuff. But it's like, no one knows anything about her. And they think that, you know, Handmaid's Tale stuff.
Yeah.
You know, she's going to put women in, like I said, put women back, you know, or what is it? Women's rights. Get rid of women's rights.
Get rid of women's
all
rights.
That stuff.
Yeah.
But it's like, first of all, none of that's true. Roe v. Wade's not even going to get overturned, I don't think.
No, but Roe v. Wade was passed with a 6-3 Republican lead. So, there's no way it could get overturned. And you don't want to be, either way, you don't want to be that person to be remembered as the person who overturned it and then it went back into place.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So it's like,
right.
You know, there's no point into doing it. And I think she is too smart of a person compared to everyone asking her questions.
Right. Oh yeah.
All these
questions. If you watch like practically any of that of this hearings.
The hearings, yeah.
They're asking her questions, trying to trip her up, trying to appear smart, and she just hits them with like a one word answer or just like a smart answer, like a slightly longer answer, whatever.
Yeah.
But it's like every question they ask her, she's like, you know, just blows through it. No big deal. No notes, no nothing.
Yeah, she has no notes. I mean, even Kavanaugh had
and
a
the
lot
questions,
of notes.
I mean, yeah, I'm sure his situation was definitely different.
Yeah,
but the questions they are asking, the senators are asking him, like, oh my God, what does this have to do with anything? But besides all the drama, reasons why I like Trump, number whatever the fuck, 10. He has appointed not even just the Supreme Court, but he's appointed over 200 federal judges, all who their goal is to interpret the Constitution as it is written. A lot of judges in the past were appointed because they were like activists, and that was their sole their big thing was they're activists and they're gonna, you know, fight for equality, all this and that, but forgetting about the fact that you still need to interpret the Constitution as it is written.
Exactly. Well, yeah, and he appoints these judges that are constitutionalists, you know, and will follow the Constitution. And, you know, it says all men are created equal, right? Like, we the people, you know. And that's not that being a constitutionalist, you read that and you're like, everyone,
mm-hmm.
right? Not one race.
Right, because two, you're interpreting it.
Yeah.
So, again, you can interpret it as either just men, or you can interpret it as everyone.
Everyone, yeah.
And right now, it's interpreted as everyone. I don't think anyone agrees with or disagrees with that. There may be a few people, but those are the weirdos. Those are the guys we don't care about.
Yeah.
The Constitution states that everyone is created equal.
Exactly.
And that's not going to change. Even if Trump gets elected for the next 4 years, not only is that not going to change, but I think that the freedoms that we have are going to be reinforced.
Exactly, yeah.
So, I mean,
he's always loved this country. Oprah Winfrey actually, you know, told him he should run.
Yep.
You know, way back in the day when
everyone wanted him to run.
Yeah.
And then he came out as a Republican, and years later, they're like, wait. No.
I mean, look at Ronald Reagan, right? A lot of people, he's one of the greatest presidents or whatever, right? And yeah,
liberal actor turned Republican.
Yeah, he was a Democrat for the longest time, and I love him because of all the jokes he had, right?
Yeah.
And one of his biggest, or one of the jokes I like the most, they're like, oh, do you have any regrets of like anything that you've done in your life or whatever?
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, my biggest regret is that I was a Democrat for however many years. You know, he's like, but, you know, back to, you know, supporting Trump, right? I mean, there's a lot of reasons why we support him.
And we've given you how many?
Yeah. I mean, you could count right there. But, like, for example, I'll be honest with you. In 2016, I supported him, right? And, you know, you probably supported him more than me. You know, you were more public about it. Yeah, more open about it, right? You know, and then this year, we both you know, I think I opened up a lot more. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I started walking into places not caring, because there's always a worry in your mind, like, oh, someone sees Trump and they get angry.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? They're like, oh, and usually it's not even registered voter.
You walk into a restaurant and their kitchen's closed, even though it doesn't close until, like, midnight.
Yeah.
Maybe because I'm wearing a Trump hat. Doesn't matter.
Maybe,
but.
Yeah. Maybe after it was after a rally. And,
yeah,
and,
yeah. You know. We were just here 2 days ago after midnight eating food, and now the kitchen's closed at 11:30. What's going on? But
at the end of the day, I mean.
Friendly comments.
But, yeah, at the end of the day, I think, like, it's good to be open about your positions. It's good to be open about who you support and the reasons mm-hmm. you support them. Like, you know, and I have a truck, right? I'll fly around with my Trump flag on the back of it, mm-hmm. you know, just because I want people to know, like, hey, you know, this is who your neighbor's voting for. This is who your community is voting for. And, you know, in Lake Mary, you know how many honks I get? Like, for good.
Yeah, yeah,
you know
yeah.
I mean, they're happy. And when we went to go vote, everyone in line, there was not one person talking about themselves voting for Biden. Mm-hmm. Everyone was voting for Trump, like, in that line, behind us, front of us. When I walked out of that voting poll, there was a guy waiting for me, and, you know, cool guy. He waited for me outside, and he's like, I just wanted to say, I love your truck. I love that you have the flag on it. He's like,
oh, really?
Yeah, he's like, silent majority, we're going to win. And I'm like, I'm praying for it. He's like, keep praying because it's going to work. And I'm like, you're right. You know, that's because, you know, you want people to see, for, like, people who are undecided, right? You want them to see who your neighbors are voting for, because it kind of it makes them look up the topic more mm-hmm. on why is my neighbor voting for Donald J. Trump?
Right.
You know what I mean? Why does he like his policies versus Joe Biden's? Mm-hmm. And, you know, they'll look it up, and that's when they'll make the decision on whether they think it would be best fit for their family, which, you know, in my opinion, it would be best fit for everyone's family. But, you know, that's why, like, especially this election, I've been way more open about it. I mean, I'll drink my whiskey out of my Trump glass, and I get so many compliments on it. I wear a Make Space Great Again hat everywhere I go. Mm-hmm. I'm wearing it right now. Wore to the gym, right? Because I know that, you know, people who support Trump, they'll look at it and be like, wow, that's smart. I like that. That's cool. Mm-hmm. You know, and then the people who, you know, get angry about stuff, you know, they're like, oh, is that a Trump hat? And I'm just like, oh, no, it's like a play on words. And then they're like, oh, okay, that's funny. You know, but it keeps
it's
it
like
in
a
their
joke.
Mind. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But it keeps it in their mind, like, Make Space Great Again. Wow, that's kind of funny. Then they might look it up and be like, wow, Donald Trump actually sells out on his website. Like, that's kind of funny that he
Space
did that.
Space Force? Reason number 11?
Yeah, Space Force, yeah. I mean, I'm in the aerospace industry, and Donald Trump brought back, or helped bring back the, like, space exploration and mm-hmm. stuff that was defunded under the Obama administration.
Right. NASA and was going
NASA was shut down completely. The only reason it's back now is because, you know, he lifted regulations and stuff on it. And NASA got funded more, not as much as, you know, they were during, like, space race and mm-hmm. stuff. But, you know, he's always said, he's like, I want to go back to the moon. Or he's like, not even the moon. He's like, I want to go to Mars. You know what I mean? We've been to the moon already. We've seen what they got. Mm-hmm. Let's go to Mars. Let's go to, you know, wherever. You know what I mean? Let's build a base just like Elon Musk. You know, yep. Elon Musk was on...
Elon Musk should be on, like, the cabinet for space advisor or something like
well,
that.
Well, he was. I don't know. He was appointed by Donald Trump.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like, originally in 2016. Okay. But, you know, he's got so much going on.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, he was way too busy. So, he ended up...
he'd do better in the private sector anyway.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, he sticks with private sector and then... But, yeah, Make Space Great Again.
Listen, guys, that's been one hell of a conversation. 10 plus reasons why... myself and many others are voting for Trump. with very detailed explanation, mind you. This isn't just some BS we're throwing out there. And I want to, look, we got to talk about this stuff. Even if it hurts your feelings, we got to talk about it. But I wanted to thank you guys for tuning in to another episode. Zach, thanks again for coming on. It's always a pleasure.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
And we'll see you guys next time. Take care.